We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
We welcome you back inside Lucas Oil Stadium. West Virginia wins it 84-67 to advance to the second round against Syracuse on Sunday. And we are now joined inside the WV locker room by associate head coach Larry Harrison. Larry, good evening to you, or I should say good morning to you, and congratulations on the victory.
Hey, Tony. Thanks, man. Really appreciate it. And I haven't even really looked at the clock, but I guess it is after midnight.
It is, buddy. We're closer to one than we are 12, believe it or not. But there's good cause to stay up and celebrate. You've been with Bob Huggins for many of these 900 victories. What's it mean to you? What's it feel for you to see Huggs get that one here tonight?
Well, first of all, it was an accomplishment that we won tonight. You know, the NCAA tournament, survive and advance, and obviously, we get a chance to advance. Secondly, I mean, it's well deserved. I mean, Huggs, you know, he's just such a – he's more than just a coach. You know, he's a friend. He's kind of like a father figure to the players. He's a brother to the coaches' staff. And we're really happy for him, happy for his family. I know they were – looking forward to it, and they was all up in the stands tonight. So it's meaningful in a number of ways. One, we continue to play, but also that he's in a very select company of coaches.
Yeah, and what better way? You're exactly right, Larry. What better way to get 900 in his 25th NCAA tournament? And this is an interesting game, and it was an interesting matchup. Let's walk through it if we could. You guys jumped them early. You took the 11-point lead. It was 17-6. Then they made a run, and they closed things up here. By the time it was halftime, it was 38-31. What were your overall thoughts about the first half from both sides, the way that you played, the way that they played?
Well, I think the beginning of the game, defensively, we was all focused, and you know, we were really into containing them, not letting them run their offense. And like you said, we jumped out to a 17-6 lead. And you know, if you watch this team throughout the season, at times we just don't have that killer instinct as far as putting teams away. So we would like to have you know, went from 17-6 to 30-6. But in reality, we're just not that type of team. And you know, we let up. We hit a couple, a few open threes and got back into the game. We missed some close-in shots early on. Derek picked it up in the second half offensively, but in the first half, we missed a few easy buckets. So we allowed them to get back into the game. But overall, I think as a team, we hit the baskets when we needed. We played good defense when we need to. Of course, Gabe is the head of all of that. He really gets us going on the defensive end and when we need stops.
All well said. So second half starts, you're up 7. They cut it to 1, 42-41. Hugs takes the early timeout. What was said in that timeout? What changed to allow you to end this game by outscoring them 42-26?
Our defense. We you know, we, and I don't know what the exact number, but we call them kills, where we try to get 3 defensive stops in a row. And I think we was able to do that. And I think, again, Gabe was a big part of that. We got a couple of steals, a couple of breakaways. And on that's on the defensive end. And on the offensive end, Coach, you know, kept telling our guys to move the ball, you know, pass the ball, get good ball movement. And we would get good ball movement, we would get open shots and easier shots. And I think that was the key to the game.
Deuce McBride had himself a night here, Larry. You've watched a lot of basketball through the years, and sophomores don't normally come into this kind of a setting and knock down 30. He just controlled the game at times, offensively and defensively. What a performance.
Again, he's our point guard. He's our leader out there. The shots that he was making tonight, we count on him making them all the time. Some of the games that we've lost in the past, you know, he didn't connect on those. But we encourage him to continue to shoot, continue to take those types of shots. And, you know, I don't think he really worries about the last shot that he missed. I think he really focused on scoring the basketball. He focuses on getting everybody involved. And defensively tonight, he made a few steals for some easy breakaways, and he really put on a great performance. Like you said, you know, 30 points, 6 rebounds, you know, 6 assists.
6 assists.
That's a hell of a night for not only just a sophomore, but that's a hell of a night for any player.
You know who also had an impressive night in a different way was Derek Culver. He could have easily shut it down after missing all 4 of his shots in the first half. But instead, Larry, he comes out and he makes 5 out of 8 or 9 shots in the second half. He goes 12-7, and it would have been easy for him to mope, but instead he got it going.
Yeah, and you know, you were talking about what was the difference in the second half. I think, and I don't know the exact time, but I'm guessing between the 12-minute mark and the 5-minute mark of the second half, I think that's when he made those 5 baskets. You know, we went to him quite often, and I think that's probably the time when he took control in the paint, which opened up the perimeter for Taz, Deuce, and Sean, and even Jalen Bridges. He made a couple of a few open perimeter shots. So Derek is key. I mean, we need that inside presence to open up our perimeter game, and we're really going to need him against Syracuse going into the Sunday's game.
Yeah, and we'd be remiss not to mention Jalen Bridges. He gets you 15-5 tonight, including 3 threes, and Sean McNeil double figures at 13, and Taz with 9. Larry, Jay Jacobs also joining us as well this evening. Jay, take it away, and your thoughts, questions here for Larry.
Larry, I thought that, and I want to get your opinion on this, I thought the game really changed at the 13-minute mark of the second half. on that flagrant foul where West Virginia picked up 6 points. Your thoughts?
Yes, Deuce made the layup, and then the flagrant foul. So that was a 4-point play on that, and I can't remember if we scored on the out of bounds. I'm not sure if we scored on the out of bounds play.
We got six out of it.
So we got 6 out of that one possession. So that was really good. And like I said, between that, you said the 13-minute mark and the 5-minute mark, I think that's also the time, as I said earlier, I think it's when Derek scored his five baskets. Because the first half, he struggled a little bit scoring-wise, but him scoring in the second half really opened things up for us.
You know, points off turnovers were big, and you knew you could turn this team over with your pressure, and you did it tonight. And off those turnovers, you scored 24 points.
We were thinking about doing a full court pressure. We had practiced that for the last couple of days because we knew they were turnover prone. But we felt that just man-to-man, and we could take them out of their offense and put pressure on them and not let them just throw the ball inside to Broom. We thought that we could do a really good job with that. And we also went to our zone defense in the second half quite a bit to stop dribble penetration. We only gave up 28 points in the paint tonight compared to the last couple of games. We've given up 40 and 50 points. So I think that was a big deal also.
You know what, Larry, you know, it's funny because you knew that this bench was short for them, that they didn't have much of a bench. And at the 6-minute mark, they were really tired. And I think you brought it home from there.
Yeah, they took Broom out of the game for a period of time during that stretch, which was kind of surprising because, he was scoring. He wasn't scoring a lot, but he was getting the ball inside and getting fouls called on both Derek and Gabe. But I think what you said, I think we wore him down. I think our physicality and our team depth, I think that was a big factor also.
Finally, for me, what about Syracuse?
Well, that's an old foe, I guess we could say, from the Big East days. Bayheim's going to play that zone. So, fortunately for us, we got players that can score from the perimeter. I think one of the keys is that we've been averaging, as a staff, we've been saying that, hey, we don't want to shoot over 23s in a game, given that we got, really good perimeter shooters. And I don't think that we just want to shoot threes against that zone. I think we got to attack that zone. I think Derek is going to be a big key because we want to get the ball inside to him and have him score inside. So I think one of the keys is that, one, we got to make perimeter shots, but we can't just shoot perimeter shots.
All right, Tony.
Hey, Larry, and I'm just looking at this box score from Syracuse tonight, just to let you know, talking about taking too many threes. San Diego State took 67 shots, 40 three-pointers tonight. So your point is well taken. And San Diego State went 11 of 40, 28% from three. Syracuse made 15 threes.
Yeah, see, that's selling. And we, as good as we shoot the ball, we can't do that. Like I said, we've been averaging, when we look at the box score, like even tonight, we're 9 for 18. 18 to 20, 21 threes. If we can stay in that area and that number and attack them inside with Derek, then I think we can shoot a good percentage. But we can't shoot 30 or 40 threes.
Yeah.
Think that would be to our advantage. Unless we make 25 of them,
Hell yeah, but you're right. I was going to say they try to entice you. That's like fool's gold. Just keep back there, sit there, chuck them. You're exactly right. It takes you out of your game.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Who has the scout for Syracuse?
Ronnie has the scout. I had San Diego State, and to be To be honest with you, I thought San Diego State would beat them. I thought with their size and they're a good three-point shooting team also. Yeah. And kind of what you said, Tony, you're like fool's gold because they had three players that could shoot over 40% from three. So I thought that they could make some perimeter shots. And they got good bigs inside that I thought that, you know, maybe they could get the ball inside against that zone. Right. I haven't seen any of the game yet. But the fact that they shot 43s tells me that they really didn't attack the zone inside. They really didn't throw the ball inside.
Yeah, well, it should be fun. Larry, again, thank you so much. Congratulations to you, and enjoy the rest of your morning.
Thank you. I think it's going to be a long night. I think I'm looking at the clock now. It's 1 o'clock. I think it's probably going to be one of those 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning type deals.
Absolutely. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Jay.